It's always an honor and a privilege to be offered the opportunity to speak to you, to speak. It's always our goal here at Providence to speak as an oracle of God, to speak exactly what He would have us to do, trying to be the Christian He'd have us to be, trying to be the church He'd have us to be, by following an example in the Bible, no more, no less, and just trying to do His will. Want to talk to you this evening about a topic that I think is meaningful to all of us. We in the leadership group have been trying to come up with lots of good lessons, meaning things that apply and help us in our Christian walk. In our Sunday morning study, we've been talking in 1 Corinthians about worshiping of idols. These folks worship little statues, animals, little images. We've studied that we have different types of idols today, that these idols can come in many forms. They can be some club that we're a member of. They can be our job, our careers. It can be our spouses or somebody we're in a relationship with. It can be our possessions. But another type of idol that we so often have in our lives that kind of takes over is that of debt. And so that's what I am hoping to talk to you about this evening, and hoping to have a meaningful lesson. And I'm trying to bring up, my timing is terrible, but debt and the Christian life. Now, we're going to miss Robbie this evening. And after after you listen to me for 3 or 4 hours, you're probably going to miss him some more. We miss Robbie, but I understand he's convalescing well at home. He's got a good nurse that's taking good care of him. And I hope he's back with us real soon. I checked on him Friday, and he said he was feeling fair, but I think he got a flu diagnosis about that time, and so we want him to take whatever time he needs. We also want to thank Jeremy for a good lesson this morning. Certainly, a lesson on passion is one that if one word had to be used to sum up Christ, it may be passion. He just had a lot of passion, a lot of forgiveness, a lot of grace, a lot of just all those adjectives that we use to describe a Christian and Christ. And we want to learn from those things, and I certainly appreciate his lesson. We read a lot about debt in the Bible, and we know that it's not always a bad thing. We start out, it's hard to think about finances, debt, what I call stewardship, without going to Matthew chapter 25, starting about verse 14 there. We have the parable of the talents. And most of us have read this 10 million times. But to paraphrase it, the master gives a certain amount of money, and the word talent is used because it's synonymous with money in this situation, but it's also synonymous with our abilities and our other blessings. And so, but he gives a variable amount of talents to each person, and how did they respond to it? Well, the one that was given 5, he responded well, and he gained 5 more and had 10. The one that was given 2 doubled his blessings as well, and he had 4. But we get down to about verse 26 here, and the fellow that was given 1 was like, I was afraid to do anything. I was afraid to use my talent because I might lose it. I might not grow. And I know you don't want me to lose what you gave me. So I just buried it in the earth, and I did nothing with it. In verse 26, it says, But the Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant." Some translations use the word slothful. "You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest, or usury. So take the talent from him and give it to those that has to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is that really talking about money here? I think it's really talking about our ability to serve God. But it is talking, money is certainly one of the things. And it uses the example of money specifically. One translation I read, instead of using the word talent, it's they use bag of gold. So it's a sum of money that's referring to here, but it also refers to our talents and our blessings. And that list can just go on and on and on. We need to be good stewards of what we've been given and use our gifts accordingly. Matthew 5:42 reads, "Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Is there anything wrong with giving somebody something to help them out? I think this is one of the challenges given to the Christian, is he's challenged to be, when he's given a blessing, to help those who are without, to be willing to make a small sacrifice, to help somebody have a good meal, to keep their electric bill on, to just do those things to help people. That's the way Christ thought, that's the way we're to act. But we can flip down to Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Pay our bills. You know, we have a challenge as a Christian to respect that deserves respect, to pay those bills that deserve paying, and be a good citizen. This is not too hard to understand. But I have heard, and I've heard this from Christians, who borrow money and they don't pay it back. And then they're like, well, it's kind of fooey on them for loaning me money in the first place. They knew better than that. And that's a pretty bad attitude for a Christian. Pretty bad attitude for anybody. We could, you know, I was thinking about an example. If I took a $5 bill, Juan, is it okay if I pick on you?
Sure.
If I took a $5 bill and laid it right there, and I turned my back, and Juan snuck up here and stole it, you know, we'd all say that was just awful, wouldn't we? What if Wanda was down on her luck? She said, "Pat, can I borrow $5? I said, "Sure. But next year, I want you to pay me back my $5 and pay me an extra dollar." Now, that's a 20% return on your money. That's a little steep, but if we agree on that, that's what we agreed on. And she can keep that money for a year. But whenever the time comes to pay that bill, and Wanda says, "I'm not going to pay you. I'm not going to pay you anything." Is there really any difference between stealing it behind your back and then borrowing it and not paying it back? We just need to be conscientious about this and pay your debts. Especially, you know, and there are times, I'm going to address this, but there's times things happen that we can't help. And I think God understands that in any walk of life. But if we know going in we're not going to pay that off, really have very little intention of paying it off, and no plan to pay it off, I think we're going down the wrong road. Psalms 37:21. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and he gives. got something out of order, but I've got Matthew 6:12-15. We also want to be conscientious about forgiving our debts and being willing to forgive those that have trespassed against us, both in debt and otherwise. Let's talk a little bit about debt. It can have a legitimate point or a legitimate place in our lives. We've got some banker folks in here, and I'm in the insurance business, and all of these can be considered sort of a debt type driven profession. But there's legitimate uses for this. As we read about the parable of the talents there. You know, it'd be better to take it to the exchangers and draw usury on the money. It's a legitimate point. It can be commerce. It can be a necessity. It may be that your roof has a hole in it and it needs fixing and it's just necessary to borrow some money to do that. You know, there's perfectly legitimate reasons. Maybe you have a medical problem that has presented itself, and you need to get well, and you need some money to do that. But we always need to have a plan to pay these things back. As we see here in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 7, she went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." This woman borrowed money, and the author there says to go ahead and pay your debt and then live on your earnings from your loan. And so there are many things in the Bible about legitimate debt, but there can be bad debt. Let's talk about credit cards. There's legitimate reasons for Visa cards and credit cards. They're accepted everywhere almost. They keep good records. When you swipe that card, you get a printout at the end of the month of where you spent your money. You have a certain amount of insurance for fraudulent charges where things are maybe put on your card that shouldn't have been, or mistakes. But so many people just simply can't handle the responsibility of having that much freedom and responsibility in their pocket. It's so easy to say, well, I'll just pay this thing off. I need that new television, or I need that new so-and-so. And go swipe the card, and the clerk smiles at you and hands you a receipt, and you go out with your treasure. But so often, that's so easy, we wind up overspending, and we get our bill at the end of the month, and we realize, oh no, what have I done? Well, why is this a problem? Many credit cards have an 18% interest rate. That means if you spent $10,000, you're going to spend $1,800 a year just to maintain the balance on that credit card. That's a lot of money. You don't get anything for that. That's $18 out of your annual income, and then you've started digging a hole that is hard to get out of. You've got to do something drastic to change what you're doing to get out of that. If you'll excuse me for just a moment, I'm going to try to go to another screen here. Well, there it is. This is something I found online, and I wanted to just kind of share this with you and talk to you about it. According to this site, which, if you will notice, it's from creditdonkey.com. It's got to be a good source. If it's online, it's true, as we all know. But I've heard lots of statistics on this, and this one actually surprised me how low it was. Average credit card debt is $5,331. 55% of credit card users don't always pay in full. 83% of adults have at least one credit card. The average number of credit cards per person is 3.1. The current outstanding revolving debt in the U.S. is $1.04 trillion. And that's what a credit card is revolving debt. As you swipe it, it goes into a debt pile, and then hopefully you pay it off, and it goes into a paid-off pile. But it's a revolving debt. The average APR on credit card accounts assessed interest is 16.46%. Baby boomers and Generation X have the most debt. 16.46%. And I've seen a lot that are higher than that. I heard it's been a couple of years ago. I drive a lot. I try to pick up on the local Christian radio, whatever it is, King of Kings or one of the similar, whatever region I'm in. And they were having kind of an info talk show documentary type thing on this. And they said that the average Christian household had credit card debt of about $24,000. $24,000. Now, what that tells me, if average debt, which $5,300 is too much on a credit card, because, again, you're paying somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,000 a year just to maintain that. But if you're maintaining $24,000 a year in credit card revolving debt, you don't have to do much math to figure out that's a whole lot of money that doesn't do anything for you. And also tells me, if this is even remotely true, that we in the churches are not doing a good job of teaching about financial blessings and how to manage them, and that this can become an idol to us. This can become such a distraction to us, it can destroy our souls. This is important. This is important, and we don't like to talk about it. Because it's none of my business, is it? And you're right, it's not. But it is your business. And we all care about you. And we all care about our souls. And we want to keep out of this kind of trouble. You know, there's all kinds of debt consolidation, debt relief plans out there, and bankruptcy, and I had a client a week or so ago and she's going through bankruptcy. And she is using one of those lawyers that they talk about on TV. And I just felt so bad for her because she's just digging a hole deeper and deeper, and guess who's winning? The lawyer. Because they're getting their money regardless. It's just a bad situation, and I don't know how she got into that shape, but it's really kind of sad. Well, let's talk about another type of bad loan. Again, there are legitimate car loans out there. Transportation is pretty much a necessity, especially in central Kentucky. You get back, got to have a car, don't you? But you're talking about a fast way to lose a bunch of money. Is trading cars. and if you'll notice on the commercials, I actually worked at a car lot for about 5 weeks before I got the job that I have now, and I learned some of the inside things that I didn't want to be a part of. But if you'll notice, a whole lot of your advertising now is payment shopping. You can drive this brand new car for $299 a month. Now, if you read the fine print, you can't drive it much. You might can drive it 2 miles to work, 2 miles home, but you better not go to the grocery store because you're going to be over your mileage and you're going to have to park it because it's going to exceed your, you know, they make that lease thing sound really good. But if you're payment shopping, they will get you a nice car in your driveway at a payment that you can afford. But the investment is horrible. look at the total price you're paying for that car before and after the financing. If you look at what the car and then the interest on the car is going to cost you, oftentimes you say, you know what, I could buy a house. We bought our house many years ago for a whole lot less than a lot of people pay for their cars today. And I need a house a lot more than I need a good car. Dave Ramsey and others are kind of a Christian-based counseling folks. You can go online, kind of buy into their mindset and learn a ton about these things and learn how to, or, you know, we've got enough good financial people sitting right here tonight. Some of us can help tell you what mistakes we've made, learn from experience so you don't have to make the same mistake. Some of these things are mistakes that I've made, and I hope that not everybody has to make these mistakes and learn the hard way. Something I deal with and insurance is the gap insurance. A lot of people never heard of that. But if you fall into that category, you've about got to buy. If you're payment shopping, you're trying to get a low payment, make a low down payment, not trading in a valuable car, you about have to have the gap insurance. The reason for that is that the car wears out and loses value a whole lot faster than you pay the car off. So whenever it's sitting in the parking lot, I hope this is the way it happens, it's sitting in the parking lot and somebody drives into it and hits it when you're not in it and you're not hurt, but guess what? You've got a $20,000 debt on a $12,000 car. And the gap insurance, what pays that difference? Well, guess what? Gap insurance costs money too. So that raises your payment significantly a month. It's not as expensive as losing it. But all of these things are things that we need to be aware of. And it sounds great when we're sitting there signing all that stack of papers at the car lot buying that car that we think is so neat and shiny. After you've done that a few times and figured out how you're digging that hole, that 15-year-old beater that's worth $3,000 looks awful good. And it may be a really good car. It may get you where you need to go, serve the purpose. It's just not quite as cool. But guess what? It's really cool to be out of debt. And you don't have that idol hanging over you. Something else along the same line, and I lost my screen here. Is payday loans. We now have pawn shops and payday loans and similar type businesses just about on every street of every town of any size. I don't think Broadhead has one, but about every other place does. And this is on a understanding that we live so paycheck to paycheck that we have no cushion whatsoever, that we're having to borrow against tomorrow. And sometimes they offer these really attractive loans. You know, you borrow $100, you pay back $110 or whatever, and that sounds pretty good. But once you get attached to that habit, it starts to add up and be pretty scary. Back to the car loan example, and I'm going to finish up pretty quick here. I was talking with a gentleman yesterday, and a lot of you folks know this gentleman. He recently traded trucks. He had a real good truck, but he wanted a smaller truck. His truck he had was too big. He said, neither truck was new, but he said, I was willing to pay $10,000 difference to downgrade to this other truck. And he went over to the local car lot, said, and they drove each other's vehicles and checked them out real good. The salesman comes back and put the papers on the table and says, we'll trade. He said, I'll pay $10,000 boot and they come back and said, we'll trade for $25,000. And he said, well, guys, you know, I said coming in, I might be wasting your time. I'm not mad, but no, thank you. I said, well, how about we split the difference? He said, again, I thank you, but I've done the math, and I feel like that, you know, if I could pay you $10,000, you'll make a little money on the truck I'm buying from you, and you'll make a little money on the truck I'm selling to you. And you're going to come out, and I'm going to come out, and I'm going to be happy, and you're going to be happy. But if you don't want to do that, that's fine. No hard feelings. Thank you. Have a nice day. And proceed to get up, start out the door. And say, well, we'll just go ahead and trade with you. You know, just because he was, and he did, he traded trucks for $10,000, and it was just simply because he'd sat down with a calculator, maybe a little online amortization table, and if he had been in the least bit of a hurry, he would have spent another $15,000 just by the pressure of the sales procedure. And you know, it's again, do your homework. If you're not good at these numbers, get somebody who is to kind of help you with it. A good amortization schedule online is worth a ton, and you can do the math for yourself. But just don't rush into these things and dig yourself a hole that you can't get out of. There's one more type of debt I want to talk to you about as we close out this evening. And that is the debt that we have to our Heavenly Father. We are all falling short of the glory of God. None of us have earned our place in heaven. None of us qualify as a saint, as somebody who has not sinned. None of us are. We are, by the nature of man, we all sin. The Bible teaches us that. But if we think of it, and this passage, I believe, uses the word ransom. Hebrews 9:15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and for those who are called may receive the promise and eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Both those under the first covenant and us today can be forgiven of our sins, and we can have that ransom paid, that debt covered, that there is no way that we can ever pay. No way. And through the sacrifice of Christ and by accepting His will, we can be forgiven, we can have that debt paid, and we can have that promise, that bridge to eternal salvation, that home with God forever, if we allow Christ to pay our bill for us, to pay our debt. Our part is simple. We just need to turn our life over to Him. We need to hear and believe the Word of God. We need to repent of our sins. Say we're going to set a new goal in our life. We're going to try to quit sinning. We're not going to be perfect, but we're going to set a new goal. We're going to take off the old man, put on the new, and we're going to try to live according to Christ's gospel, and then confess that we believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and then be baptized for remission of our sins. Simple as that. You can do that this very evening. Maybe you've started on that pathway, that you've stumbled, and that you have, again, fallen short even as a Christian. We will pray with and for you this evening, help you get back on track. As James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we can help you this evening, please come forward, make your wishes known as we sing the invitation song.